Spiky Drill Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Realm Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the world wide web.
From a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
Yes, we are back. Another year. Another big paycheck for me.
Yes.
And another 4 or 5 months of complete stress and exhilaration. In his 14th year as the head kahuna for the Vinton County varsity boys basketball team, Coach Matt Coles. Alongside yours truly, Carl Knox, the Viking Realm Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's. McDonald's and MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Doesn't seem like we ought to be back in the swing of things.
Sneaks up on you.
But we are.
Yep.
How are you doing there, sir?
Great. How you been?
Good. Busy? I know you've had a lot of free time on your hands.
Yes.
So, seriously, what is this, third year for the podcast?
I can't remember when we started doing podcast versus radio, but yeah, I think it is the third year.
Third year for the podcast. This makes, I think, year number 7 or 8 that we've been doing this. So we've had an opportunity to get to know one another more than we probably want to, but nonetheless, we're here and we're going to do this thing.
So, that's right.
Got a lot to go over today. We do have a guest. He's in studio right now, and he's crunching numbers as we speak, like a mad
hard
scientist.
Hard at it over there.
Actually, we normally, our first episode, we here for the past couple of years, we had Troy Boland from TriValleyConference.com. And we'll apologize in advance, both the coach and myself. I've been fighting bronchitis. I don't know what you have,
but it's that time of year, I think, change of weather. So
excuse the coughing and hacking and all that, but yes. We do have a lot to go over today. A whole new team, a whole new dynamic on that front, a whole new season, and we couldn't get Troy Boland. He's still wrapped up in Trimble football and all of that, but we've brought along a local guy who's actually kind of delved into the broadcast business, Nate Lamb. He's now doing work as a color commentator for WATH and WXDQ, and he is, I guess, I would refer to him as the Viking superfan, because he is all over it. He's a staunch supporter of not just Viking basketball, but all things Viking sports. And we're going to get Nate's input on this year's Viking squad, as well as the entire TVC Ohio. And we'll even touch on the TVC Hawking and kind of give people a roundabout status of what we see this season playing out to. But first and foremost, let's get right to business. Your Viking varsity squad last year graduated 6 seniors. All of which, in some capacity or another, gave you some playing time. And I know the first scrimmage I went to 3-4 weeks ago, it's kind of like I walked into the gym and I knew these kids as JV players, but even some of them I haven't seen at all because they're freshmen. But a young team, a deep team, a talented team, but I think you would agree a pretty inexperienced team. Just give me your thoughts up front about the whole dynamic this year and how things have changed from last year.
Well, they've changed drastically in terms of experience and age. We return Alex Owens, and after him, our next most experienced guy coming back was Jordan Albright, who actually only averaged about 16 minutes a game last year. So, after that, everybody's pretty much new to varsity. And so it's obviously been a challenging preseason whenever you have a young, inexperienced group. It's not the first time, we've had this, but first time in a while, I guess. And the nice thing about a team like that is you see improvement quickly. I mean, it seems like forever ago when we started practice, but in all reality, it's only, 3 and a half weeks ago.
Right.
And, we've seen a lot of improvement from the kids in that short period of time. And I think that part of it's rewarding for a coach. But the frustrating part is, when you open the season, like we did the other night with a team that's senior laden group, you know, pretty experienced, pretty disciplined group. It makes things tough a little bit in the early going for games. But as a coach, like I said, I like the improvement. I think this is going to be a good team at some point this year. It's just a matter of when we kind of get over the hump, learning everything we got to learn and get some of those games under our belt. But I do see this team eventually becoming a pretty good basketball team. It's just right now we're just, like you say, very inexperienced.
Yeah, we will touch on the first game of the year, as you guys did lose over at the Zane Trace Tip-Off Classic this past Saturday night, score of 61-56. We'll touch on that here in a bit. But when you talk about an inexperienced, youthful team, kind of one of the things that sticks out to me is, you know, this team is very deep. I mean, you're how many kids are you rotating right now?
Well, I mean, we can, you know, we play about nine, and there's some kids, honestly, you know, that really aren't playing varsity minutes right now that may down the road, you know, that are playing JV, that are younger, that are getting better every day. So, and like we told those guys that we've been playing here in the early going, you know, your job's not safe. You have to keep earning your position because there's people behind you pushing you. And but like I said, it's a growing process right now. And I think, you know, I guess you could say we're deep, but we're probably searching a little bit too for combinations.
Right.
And so it'll be interesting to see later in the year whether we play as many people as we play now, we play less, we play more. It just kind of depends how people fall into their roles and how they do with them.
Well, in light of that depth or inexperienced depth but with some talents, and I know that some of the guys that are out this year, you know, a name comes to mind right off the bat is, you know, Andy Long. He has not played for several years, as Ryan Slopko. And, you know, some of those guys are kind of playing a role type situation. And when you lose someone like Jordan Kidd, that I don't know the exact number, might have averaged 18 points a game. And then you have a Bryce Owens that he put up some 20 plus point games on the offensive production, and it kind of sounds rhetoric or cliche-ish, but when you lose that much offensive production and you got kids that are good but inexperienced, how as a coach do you address, you know, finding your score? I mean, you can get the defensive effort and, you know, those type of things, but maybe this is a stupid question, but how do you kind of go about getting that whole dynamic to fall into place?
Well, I think you just have to look at your group and see what your identity is going to be and how you're going to play. I mean, we're not going to have one guy go out and score 20 points a night for us, but we may be able to offset some of that scoring loss by balance, you know, by getting several kids to contribute what they can. And we hope that's the case, because every team is different. You know, you're not very often blessed with one kid who can just go do that, what Jordan did or what a Dustin Guthrie used to do or a Chris Bethel. I mean, those kids don't grow on trees every year. I mean, most years you have to get balance. You know, you have to get a lot of people involved. And that's going to kind of be, I think, the case for our team. You know, you mentioned Andy and Ryan Slopko, two guys that came back out this year that are playing a role for us, still trying to learn the role a little bit, but I think bring something to the table. You know, and then we have some – so even in their case, they're not necessarily young, but they're inexperienced. And then we do have some youth, some freshmen and sophomores kind of trying to find their way. But I think the thing you lose from last year's team that probably goes over – or maybe overlooked a little bit is just the age. You know, when you have 18-year-old seniors going out there for you every night, it's an advantage. I mean, there's no doubt about that, as opposed to maybe 15, 16-year-olds. But in terms of toughness and in terms of just, you know, finding ways to win, I'll be honest with you, though. This group right now that we have, I think in a lot of ways we're executing and doing some of the things better than last year's group did at this point in the season. It was just last year's group found some ways to win some games where they didn't play very well because – maybe just being a little tougher or whatever. I mean, last year's group, we really played poorly through about the first seven games of the year, you know, and then we sort of turned it around. So that's what I told our guys today is that, you know, everybody wants to talk about what we lost, but we got to talk about what we have. I think we have a smart group of kids who are really buying in, and some of the things we're doing right now, we're ahead of schedule, but obviously in some areas we're a little bit behind. So, you know, we'll get there. Again, you can't really put a time frame on it. You just hope it happens sooner rather than later.
Well, and, you know, you mentioned kids that are doing things a little bit better than, you know, what a lot of people by judging by the record or whatever, this group of kids, by, you know, for the most part, or really all of them, they're a good group of kids, and they're very coachable, and they're smart kids that are willing to buy into what you're teaching, and that's kind of a situation where, you know, different. It seems like every year we've done this, or you and I have known each other, you can kind of, not to stereotype a team, but some years you have great kids who might not be real gutsy or aggressive, and then right. other years you kind of got to turn the flint, you know, turn the stove down, so to speak, and kind of contain the kids because they're real gritty. And you know, the good thing is, despite the youthfulness and experience, they're coachable, they're talented. And I guess as a coach, you know, you've always told me that you enjoy as much, if not more, teaching kids the game and the practice side of it.
Right.
You know, sometimes the games is just, it's too nutty and it's stressful and all that. But I take it in a way you're kind of enjoying the fact that, yeah, it's a challenge. You got a lot to deal with, youthfulness and all that. But you kind of enjoy it. It's a challenge to you to bring these kids along, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy the process because, like you say, we do have a good group of kids and kids that play really hard. And, you know, effort and all that's not been an issue. Attitude's not been an issue. Really, the problems we have are basketball issues. We're trying to learn and get better, and I can handle that, you know, because that's my job to try to make that better. But I enjoy the process of it, and I enjoy seeing them grow. And like I said, we've from the time we played Uniota, about a week and a half ago, maybe 12 days ago.
It's back on the 19th.
I guess almost 2 weeks now tomorrow. We've come a long way. You know, we've come a long, long way in those 2 weeks. I mean, we're playing a lot better basketball now than we did then. And if we can come along that much in the next 2 weeks, I think this team's going to give the fans, you know, a team that they can be proud of night after night.
Well, speaking of the games, you know, you did play Uniota in the foundation game. Uniota, a very impressive, very, very impressive team. I think
right.
Coach Hoop's got a good group of kids over there this year. Starting the regular season, as I mentioned, back on this past Saturday night, the 29th of November. We're taping this, by the way, in case you care. Monday afternoon, December the 2nd. But you dropped the first one over at Zane Trace to Eastern Brown, a very, very good team. Are they D4 still?
D3.
They're D3 now,
right.
But good program down
right.
in Eastern Brown. If people remember, they went to the district final last year and were defeated by the Oak Hill Oaks without the services of their stud senior, who I guess blew out his ACL like somewhere in late in the season of the tournament. But you had mentioned they have pretty much everyone back from last year with the exception of that young man. Lose that game 61-56. For those of you who were there, you know, really, I it was kind of a tale of two games because the first half, no offense, but you guys kind of came out and crapped
your pants. Funny you use that terminology because I told our kids, you know, tale of two halves, really. I mean, we played really nervous, I thought, in the first half and sort of got careless with the ball a couple times and bad spots where it led directly to points. You know, turnovers can be different because some of them lead directly to points, some of them don't. And those did. Gave up a couple easy baskets that way, didn't rebound real well. Their best player kind of got going, and a lot of his shots he hit were tough shots. I'll give him credit. But the second half, we came out and we made a conscious effort to try to take their best player away. I think that helped a little bit. He only scored 7 in the second half. You know, Andy Long and David Allen did a nice job sort of denying him the ball and trying not to let him have it. And then we just played more loose and less scared in the second half. I mean, we attacked the basket more.
And Jordan,
I really feel like had we played the whole game like we played the second half, we win the game, you know.
Yeah.
But we don't, you know, but that's obviously a big if. We didn't. So, you know, but hopefully we'll learn from that. And maybe tomorrow night when we go over to Miami Trace, hopefully we don't play that nervous and just unsettled of a first half.
Well, and it's kind of one of those things that, you know, the kids did look nervous, a little scared, and you expect that with a young, with any team, first game of the
right.
season and, you know, playing up at Zane Trace. But when you, at the half, the score was 16-28.
Right.
And, you know, you guys kind of came out in the third quarter, you'd make a run and you get it down to double digits and then they'd go on a 3 or 4 point run and get it back to 12-13.
Right.
I rarely give you a compliment, but I want to. And I mean, in all seriousness, it felt to me like the refs, they must have, you know, had a ball game to watch because it seemed like they, you know, they were wanting this game to get, well, and you were grinding and calling timeouts And you know, in the second half, you guys score 40 points.
Right.
And in the second half, you know, Jordan Albright kind of got a hot hand. You got some threes and some kids that kind of got it going on offensively. And you could kind of see that confidence going. But, you know, a loss like that, obviously, first game of the year. And I think last year you lost your first game of the year to Logan Elm.
Right.
And year before that, I think you lost.
I mean, we always play a tough opponent over there. I think that's the thing about Eastern Brown. That's about the worst team to get behind to and have to try to come back on, because they're not going to beat themselves. They're real well disciplined, and you can, but it's very risky to just say, okay, we're going to start pressing full court everywhere, because that lead could go from 12 to 25 in a hurry.
Yeah.
And there's probably a higher likelihood of that than there is getting back to even with that. So what we had to do was kind of inch our way back, and we kept telling our kids, if we can get this thing to 8, you know, then work it down to 2 possessions.
Right.
We were really just trying to get it to like 2 possessions with maybe 2.5 minutes to go and give ourselves a chance. But like you said, every time we got it to like 8 or 9, it seems like they hit a shot or we would maybe miss an easy one or whatever. But we just could not quite get over the hump. But it's like I told our kids after the game, and you mentioned it there, when we go over to Zane Trace to open the season every year, we play a tough opponent. Some of the better teams I've had have lost over there to start the season. But I think it's beneficial, because as you get into league play, you want your first couple games, I think, to be challenges, because it's like I told our guys, if we were playing a bad team the other day, some of those mistakes we made probably don't get exploited or exposed. You know, that team doesn't take advantage of it. You end up winning. You think, hey, we're great, and you're really not. So hopefully, you know, we'll learn from these, and as we get, you know, another tough non-league game tomorrow, and then we get into league play later this week, hopefully it'll pay off for us.
Should be interesting. Stats from the 61-56 loss to Eastern Brown for Vinton County. As we said, Jordan Albright leads the Vikings with 22 points. Chase Wood has 12. Max Ward has 10 points. Austin Lambert has 5. Tristan Bartow with 3. Some of these names I got to get used to saying.
Yeah.
Alex Owings has 4 points. As a team from the field, you shoot 40%, 20 of 49 from the field, from the free throw line. You guys actually pretty impressive.
Yeah,
73% from the charity stripe, 11 to 15. In the turnover department, the little early season thing, 15 turnovers. But, you know, it was kind of one of those, it wasn't a complete blowout. I think you kind of had the idea if you were there that, oh, this was a bad game. But then I saw the stat sheets. I'm like, hey, you guys played a good second half,
right.
Real good second half. So
right.
Should be interesting. We do have the Miami Trace game coming up Tuesday, December the 3rd. And then we'll also be previewing the first TVC Ohio contest of the year, as the Alexander Spartans, under the leadership of new head coach Jim Kearns, they'll be coming over to Viking land this coming Friday night, and we'll be talking about that. Up next, though, we will talk to the guru, one of the gurus, Viking superfan, Nate Lamb. He's next on the Viking Roundball Podcast. Back on the Viking Rumball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. Back into it, episode 26 of the Viking Rumball Podcast, as we get going for season 2013-2014, alongside Coach Matt Combs, Carl Knox. Happy to be joined on this episode. We, in the intro, I did not mean to like make you sound like second fiddle to Troy Bolin.
That's what it sounded like to me, Carl. I got to be honest.
But Nate Lamb, for anyone on Southeastern Ohio Preps, I just don't want to leak your identity. Nate Lamb lives in Dundas. Is that correct?
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right.
It's where you lay claim to.
Uh huh.
The metropolitan area of Dundas.
That's it. That's my hometown.
The world headquarters of cattle shipping and logging.
That's true.
But no, seriously, Nate has been a huge Viking. Actually, you were an athlete. When did you graduate from high school?
I graduated in 2005. I actually got to play. Matt was our assistant baseball coach. I played baseball, and he actually was the golf coach my senior year. He took over for Steve Vance. So
We were loaded too, I'm telling you, man, our golf team.
I think we finished fourth that year. That was pretty good.
Yeah, we made an improvement.
Well, I had to play.
I mean, I wasn't Terry Papel or anything, but, you know, I tried to organize it.
I just remember Pup put something, I don't know, it was on Facebook or what, the Viking golf program is back. I'm like, when was it? No, I can't. I mean, one thing I think that, you know, having played a ton of golf with the coach here, it's a day and night relationship. The summer months we play a lot of golf, and yes, he is competitive on the golf course as far as meltdowns and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Intensity, competitiveness.
Yeah.
But the nice thing about golf is we can make fun of him during, you know, when he hits a bad shot. And I'm not even going to go there. We can have a separate episode. But the baseball, he is actually, a lot of listeners may not know this, I would venture to say that Matt Combs watches more baseball and is a bigger baseball fan than he is a basketball fan. And
I guarantee you, and we, Nate and I talk a little smack about the Reds Indians occasionally, you know what I mean? But it was looking good for all involved for a while this year, like maybe we could have that I-71 deal, but
eventually.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get there.
Eventually.
Well, I just know that, you know, we'll get off the baseball kick here, but please tread lightly with Coach Combs on the on his beloved Reds, because I will say this, he has been, I hate to even use the words in front of him because he will probably get emotional, but the Reds losing Dusty Baker this year is just absolutely emotionally crushed the coach.
Oh, yeah.
He loves his
Can't sleep at night.
Loves Dusty. Yeah.
Yeah.
But glad to have you in here. Do appreciate you kind of coming in on short notice. Well, actually, for us, it was long notice because we contacted him last week.
Right.
Yeah, I had plenty of time to study.
Well, I'm glad you know what you're talking about because we're both clueless. But brought you in here to kind of talk about the TVC. You know, just quickly hearing the first segment we did with the coach, your thoughts on this year's Vinton County varsity team.
Wow, my thoughts. Yeah. You know, you talked earlier about how young this team is and how experienced they are. And the first thing that I thought is it kind of happens every year. I mean, every year we graduate 4, 5, 6 seniors, and it seems like we're always losing that go-to guy or that leading scorer. And I remember a few years back, I think whenever Andy Grillo and that group graduated, yeah, the next year, everyone was like, well, who are they going to have? You know, Vinton County, they've got to be down this year. They've got to be down this year. And all we did was come back and win another title. So, I mean, we reload here, and that's just a testament to the coaching staff and the players and how well they buy into the system. And I say it all the time, we've got the best coach in Southeast Ohio sitting right over here. I don't want to make his head too big, but
yeah, easy.
But but that's what I think. And I've talked to some people the last few weeks, and I didn't get to make it over to the games last Friday, but I did make it to a couple of scrimmages, and they seem really young, and I think this is a team that throughout the year is going to get better. With the youth, there's a lot of talent on this team. I mean, from top to bottom, from the ninth graders all the way up to the senior we have, there are a lot of good players on this team. And I think, you know, you give them half a season or so, and they're really going to turn some heads, you know, come January, February.
Didn't mention it in the first segment, but I would be remiss not to mention, obviously, one of the big stumbling blocks, and you and I talked about this when we taped the interview for Vinton County on the air a couple weeks ago, but obviously losing Sean Cottle, you know, with his ACL, and as bad, and it's for lack of a better word, selfishness as a Viking fan, because you knew he's a young talent, and he is, you know, the Cottle bloodlines athletically in this county, they say enough, that's all you need to say. But, you know, as the coach brought up the point, it's tough enough as a coach or as a teammate or a fan to not have Sean Cottle on the court, but it's even tougher to walk in Sean Cottle's shoes, and he's got to be the one that's got to go through this and do all the rehab. And I don't think for a second that he doesn't have his heart in the right spot, and he's going to work his, you know, hiney off. But that TVC Ohio, even though the coach is here, I'm, you know, I think every team out there is probably a little bit better than they were last year. But give me a quick synopsis of you know, each team and your thoughts on each team in the TVC Ohio and what you see coming forward this year.
Okay. Well, first I got to give a shout out to Troy. I got some stats and some rosters off his site.
Also, he knew you were going to be on here.
He knew I was coming on here.
Did he have a comment to that, or
he really didn't say a whole lot. He's still in Trimble Land for some reason.
Yeah, right? I'm not sure,
but
he's a converted rudder now.
He did help me out some. But yeah, you talked earlier about Alexander coming in Friday with a new coach, Coach Kearns. They actually got Jordan Hill from River Valley as assistant. Basically, you have two head coaches on the bench.
Just interrupt, Coach. Your mic is on. You're more than willing. Jordan Hill, the former head coach at River Valley. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Jordan Hill is now technically he's family to Coach Combs. Obviously, has ties to the Raines family over in Albany. And did he marry Megan or Lauren?
Married Lauren, cousin Lauren. I've known Jordan for a long time anyway, and he's a great guy. But he married Lauren this fall, I guess, or summer. I can't remember exactly the date.
It was in August. Yeah. That was the week before we went to the Ville.
Right. So they, and then of course, Coach Kearns and I go way back too, because my very first teaching job was at Shade. Some people remember Shade.
Played a lot of ball in the Shade gymnasium.
That's right, up at
Guthrieville.
In the Alexander School District. Now, I think the building's still there, but obviously they don't go to school there. But we were up at Shade. He was a PE teacher up there, and I was teaching social studies. We ate lunch together and argued sports all day long. And I know Jimmy pretty well, too. That's a good coaching staff, no doubt about it.
Yeah, with Kearns and Hill coming in, I read some where they're going to want to play a lot of man-to-man and press some this year, keep it up tempo. They're really small. They've only got one player that's 6'2". Everybody else is smaller than that, which we've battled that here before, having one player a little over 6 foot.
The Chapman kid, is he a junior or sophomore this year?
There is actually two Chapmans, Corey Chapman and Mason Chapman. They're both sophomores. They have six sophomores on the team. The Chapman brothers, Lucas Thompson, Shea Grigsby, Seth Richardson, and Kyle Howard, and they only have one senior. So they're kind of similar to us. Their only senior is Chris Wingett. They lost their all-TVC player Braden Jones last year, and their point guard Jordan Mosley. Actually, no, he's back. He's a junior. They went 5-18 last year overall. They were 0-10 in the league, which – You talk about Alexander. That's not really something that you kind of you think about with them. They're typically pretty strong, and I know they play us really well. It doesn't matter what their record is.
Yeah, right.
They've really fought us hard. So, but it's kind of a shakeup year over there. So I expect them to be clearly. I don't expect them to go 0-10 in the league. I don't think anybody's going winless in the league this year. I think you said it earlier. Your teams are going to be better this year overall, and I think that's true. I think most of the teams are going to improve. So
it should be interesting. I know I consider Blaine Gabriel a great friend, and he's a great person. Kind of a tough switch for the Alexander School District to make. I don't know if Blaine's ever going to get back in coaching or what his plans are, but wish him the best. And at the same time, obviously Jim Kearns was his assistant for many years, but. Moving ahead, I take it you're doing this alphabetically, so let's talk about the big kahuna next.
Well,
and the Athens Bulldogs.
I can do it. I was going to go from worst to first last year, but that's not a problem.
Oh, well.
We'll go alphabetical. Athens, I mean, is there really anything we need to say about Athens? they've got pretty much everybody back.
I think I could coach this team to a winning record.
The only problem I see with Athens is...
I can't wait to hear this.
They play.
I want to hear this too. Go ahead.
They played football for so long. All right. They just started practicing last week. So that's the only problem they're going to have is they're off to a late start. And they have a league game this Friday. So
against who?
Against Megs.
Did you see their score in the? Was it the preview?
Yes.
Yeah. That looks like they're pretty rusty there.
Well,
I know you're trying to
They scored six touchdowns, I think, in that preview.
Yeah,
and
limited their opponent to what, three field goals?
I was joking with Troy. I was thinking they were going to go, have some offsides plays and maybe have some screen passes involved this year. But
you can use that rust factor, but the tournament draw is not until third week in January or whatever.
They've got a while, but they do have a very tough schedule, and I'll talk about that, but. They've got A.B. Watson coming back as a sophomore. He averaged only 15 points a game last year as a freshman. So
he is being courted heavily, I guess, by some D1 schools, including the University of Michigan. I've heard a lot there, but go ahead with your.
I wouldn't know why, but the kid's very good. He's probably going to be one of the best in the league, if not the best. Joe Burrow, 6'4". Ryan Lerman, 6'4". Adam Lerman, 6'4". Zakai Saltzman as a point guard. They've also got a new point guard coming in, Griffin Lutz. He's a freshman, and I've heard some very good things about this kid. Evan Cooley's a 6'1 junior. Sam Vandervin, 6'. I mean, all these kids are like 6' and taller, and they can play. We've seen them run up and down the court. I mean, they can shoot well. They've got an early test against Logan Elm on December 14th. In a couple weeks. Then they travel after Christmas to Florida for 3 games. So I'm not sure who they play down there, but I'm sure they're going to be pretty good teams.
It's an ESPN Disney event.
So only to come back to Ohio to play Warren and Ironton, and then Akron, St. Vincent, St. Mary, all in the month of January. So they're going to be battle-tested. During league games, they're going to be tested come tournament time. Their record may not be – they may not win every game like they, like we think they're going to, just because of the schedule is so tough. And you really never know. Anything can happen. Warren beat them twice last year, and Warren's loaded again.
Quickly, Coach, anything that Nate has said, or I'm not trying to put the Viking program down. I mean, when you think of the Athens Bulldogs this year, do you just get a headache, or is that a team?
Obviously they have all the pieces. They're tall. They have experience. They have kids that can play. It's going to be a tall task for whoever's playing them.
Right. Well, that should be interesting. And like you said, I cannot wait until the end of next. Well, the thing is, they still got kids coming up because Watson's only a sophomore. But
yeah,
the Burrow and the Lurham kids, those twins, last year, I think the only starter they lost last year was Elmore.
Yeah, the big kid down low.
The big kid down low, and he's a big bulky kid, and he was good for a couple rebounds, but mm-hmm. he wasn't a big scorer or anything like that. So should be interesting. Alexander Athens, guess what? The Megs Marauders.
Sure.
You're number two for the superior kite coach in the TVC Ohio.
Yeah, David Kite. I remember going down to that game last year and watching us play, and I couldn't get over the fact of how fiery this guy was. I mean, I look at our Kite.
they're night and day.
Yes, they are. And I look over there.
They're not Kite and day. They are night and day.
Right. It's almost like you taught David how to act on the sideline. But last season, Meg's 9-11, 4-6 in the league. Kind of a down year, but Megs is, I think a few years ago, they ended up finishing second in the league. So they're a team that typically does fairly well, usually an upper half team in the league. They've got quite a bit coming back. Ty Phelps is a junior. Caleb Sheets is going to be an excellent basketball player. He's good on the football field. He's a sophomore this year, so they're going to have him around for a little while. Jordan Hutton's a senior. Dameron Jones is a senior. Jarrett Durst is a senior. They lost Trey McKinley, Alex Morris, Jared Williams, who was 6'5", so they lost their big guy down low, and they also lost Cody Stewart, who was 6'3", and Dustin Ulrich, who was 6'3". So they're going to be a little smaller this year, but they've got a lot of guys coming back. So I would expect Megs. I think Megs is going to be a team this year that really surprises some people in the league, and maybe outside of the league too. Typically they do well. So I would look out for Megs this year too.
Well, and I think Dave has kind of changed the whole dynamic and the emotion in that community. And he's a young, fiery, hardworking coach. He obviously knows the game, but he's kind of got the community and the kids, most importantly, buying into a basketball program that not 2 years ago, I think they went 2-18 or something. They didn't have a very good record. So next team, Coach Jay Klein and the Nelsonville York Buckeyes. Still a little sour on the Buckeyes after that situation.
Well,
Coach Combs just give me a look like, shut up.
they had a pretty good year last year considering their football school. 16-6, that's not too shabby. Third in the TVC Ohio. They got a number one seed in the tournament last year. But they did lose five seniors from last year, and All-League Blake, Jacob Blake and Clint Handa are gone. And all Southeast District Mark Carter is gone. And also Emmett Reed, who was 6'4", was coming back this year. He transferred, so he's not there either. They've got Josh Fayette coming back and Cameron Kilbarger, Colt Adams, and Jay Elliott. So there's some talent coming back, but they've got a lot of new faces coming up for varsity.
They had a pretty good JV team last year. Am I wrong in that?
I can't remember how good they were in terms of winning the losses. They've had plenty of athletes, every year on that JV team, usually a pretty athletic group.
Well, and that's a team that they can never be taken for granted. A lot of years their record might not be indicative of they can pull the big upset when you're playing for a league championship outright. You know, you never know when they're just going to come into your own home gym and
staying quiet over here.
Yeah. That happens.
It's amazing how coach. And just real quickly, man. I know we're against the clock, and our producers are wanting to get to break and all that stuff. But going back to, and I'm not trying to rub salt into your wound because I did not talk to you about this for 3-4 weeks after the season. But last year, if people remember right, you had clinched a share of the league. All you had to do was beat Nelsonville. They come in, they play a great game, and we just came out and looked brain dead, and it was a bad night for us. Going back, you know. And the funny thing was, Nelsonville beat you guys. Then they went in the D3 as a one seed in their sectional. I think they won their first game and then got
beat by Crooksville.
Yeah, a team with a sub-500 record. Meanwhile, you guys were heartbroken. It was a bad week of practice. No, I'm going to say bad week. It was an intense week of practice after you guys lost that game going into the tournament. Looking back, sometimes does losing a big game like that maybe your kids weren't mentally or emotionally jacked up and ready for, and hindsight, you guys go on a nice tournament run and make it to a district final and lose to a team that eventually went to Columbus in the Final Four, and Warren Local.
Right.
You know, is it you? Do you look back on that and think, maybe sometimes?
I mean, yeah. If that sparked us to refocus and make that tournament run, it's I guess you have to say. It was an effective loss, but you hate to say a good loss when it cost you the outright championship. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it goes back to what I've been saying all along, and this is why and we've had this discussion on here before. You got to play the games when they're scheduled. You know, unless the weather's really bad, you got to play the games when they're scheduled. And that game was a makeup.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I can remember going into that game. We'd had a full week of practice. We didn't have a Tuesday game. Kids were really playing well. Boom, we get that game canceled and we tack it on the end of the year. And now we're playing 8 games in 16 days or 18 days or something. And, I'm not making excuses, but it just stinks when you have to tack those games on the end of the year. We get weather in this area that you can't help, obviously. But
he's going to go on a rant.
But that, that particular game, it wasn't that bad. And
You were fighting mad that afternoon because I talked to you, and it was one of those deals. There was a dusting of snow at like 7:30 that morning, and by 11 o'clock, it was wet roads. And
in all honesty, though, we did early release that day. I mean, we did early release that day, and whenever you early release, you run into some issues with if you're still having a game. But it was tough. It was a tough blow for us that way. But you know what? They might have come in and beat us on the given night too. You know that was supposed to play, but it did. It was tough. It was a tough ending to the year because I can remember such emotional games we had to get ready for. You know, we played Athens on the 12th of February, and then we turned right around like 3 days later and beat Wellston on senior night. And you know, I don't know. It just sometimes you can only get emotionally ready so many times in a short period of time. But I said it then, I'll say it now. You got to give Nelsonville credit. You don't take things away from them. They had a good, like you said, they won 16 games. Not a bad basketball team, you know.
Man, they had some very big wins too, and it's kind of one of those things. The worst thing about that, two things I will never forget about that game. One, Troy Boland walks in wearing a Nelsonville hoodie. Now, anyone who knows Troy Boland, that's all you need to know.
He's a bandwagon guy.
He's a bandwagon, obnoxious sports guy. That's it.
And he's who we have on this show every year. We like.
I don't see him in here today. Amazing how that happened. But anyhow, Troy, I'm having a complete brain fart. I say, Troy, why don't you sit beside me? Thinking, huh. Combs and the boys are going to roll tonight. Instead, you come out and crap your pants, and I had to listen to Troy Boland. And then I come home really, just sick. Jump on Facebook. I happen to be friends with Coach Jeff Skinner of Athens. And not that he was rubbing it. He was like, I can't believe what I just heard.
Yeah.
So did Coach Skinner ever send you a box of donuts or a thank you note?
No. It's amazing. Might have sent something to Coach Klein. I'm not sure.
Anyhow, there's Nelsonville. Last and certainly not least. Well, we'll do let's do the Wellston Rockets, and then
do we have to do Wellston or –
It's contractually, it's part of this conference. I like that. Okay. They Wellston, Coach Graham back for what, his third year? Second or third year?
What is this? His
I think it's his third year.
Yeah, I think this is his third year, but right. They lose the Brown kid, they lose Justice Hoosley. They lost some people last year, didn't they?
Yeah, they lost Richards, Brown, Tyler.
Toriana Smith.
Smith, Justice Ousley, Bunnell, and Fought. What can I say about the Rockets?
They lost a lot of size. They lost all their size. But they have a couple guards, but all those kids you just mentioned are like 6'4", yeah, most
right.
of them are.
Yeah,
I'm bigger. Ousley was 6'7".
Wellston last year, obviously they upset Athens, which really helped us out. But I think size-wise, they were really the only team that matched up with Athens last year. And that wasn't a complete shock to me when I found out that they beat them that night. I think we were in Nelsonville, and I was listening to it on my phone, and I was a huge Wellston fan that night. So, I mean, they've lost quite a bit, but it's Wellston. It's one of the toughest places to play in the league. I mean, it's so wide open down there, and you never know about Wellston. They always seem to come out, and it's the same way with football, too. They always seem to come out and beat somebody you don't expect them to every year. So they're a team. It's really you've got Athens on top in my mind, and then everybody else. It could go any way, in my opinion, you know, right. So.
Well, and I think they got some good guards coming up. I know the Jared Hawk's son, was it Ryan?
Ryan. They got the Walmendorf kid who's grown quite a bit. They got a kid named Chaz Davis, I believe, if I got that name right.
That's right.
He's kind of a long, lanky kid. And I think Toriano Smith had a younger brother who's playing. I think that might be his younger brother. I can't remember. Do they have a Smith on the roster?
I didn't see
that. Okay, because they said his brother played junior high football last year and wasn't built like him, you know, smaller, quicker.
Right.
And they had a kid like that on the team. I thought maybe that was, but I didn't see it. I haven't seen a roster. And like you mentioned, they have a group of sophomores there they're pretty high on, you know. So they have a
– They got a nucleus of kids that can do some damage.
Right, right. Well, that's kind of the theme in the league, not to steal his thunder because he's talking about it. A lot of young kids in this league. You know, Athens obviously really good, but they are young mm-hmm. in places. Alexander, you mentioned, had a bunch of sophomores. Wellston's got a bunch of sophomores. We're playing a lot of young kids. So it's a lot. That's Caleb Sheets, sophomore, one of the better players in the league. So there's a lot of young kids in this league. This league's going to be pretty good the next couple of years.
Yeah, and you know, kind of already touched on Vinton County. Anything you want to add to the Vikings this year? I mean, what was the record last year?
19-5.
When you win 19 games and you lose 5, that is good.
Magic Johnson would say.
Is back. other than the talent, the kids, and great kids and a great facility, I understand there's some coaching issues at Vinton County, but in addition to that, what's your general thoughts on Vikings this year?
Last I heard, we were looking to clear that up. But
I looked on the bench Friday over at Zane Trace. I mean, you're getting to be like Ironton.
That shows you how dumb I am. I got that many people around to help. I mean, they each have a role. They each, one of them helps me remember like my
out
where
of
my car keys
place.
Are and what you know. So I mean, when you got such a dumb head coach, you got to have a lot of people around him.
You'll have that. But what do you think of the Vikings this year? I mean, obviously, just quickly your quick thoughts before we get you out of here.
All right, my quick thoughts this year. We've got 22 games, 23 with the tournament game guaranteed. We have won, Combs. You have averaged in just the regular season. Just under 15 wins a year. That's a 15-5 record. Jeez. Every year since you started, and there were some lean years to begin with, but right. that's since you've been here in the regular season. I think if you add in postseason, it's over 17. So that's not too bad. But this year, I would love to see us meet that. I'm not quite sure if we're going to, just because we're so young, and I think we're going to get off to a little bit of a slow start, being inexperienced. But I think, and I put this on preps to anybody that reads it, but I think by the end of the year, January, February, you know, we're gonna be rolling. Mm-hmm. I think we've got the ability to go into the tournament and really shake things up. Clearly, I expect us to win quite a few league games. I don't see us really falling off the face of the earth this year, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but I just think that, you know, we're gonna struggle somewhat. But I think by the end of the year and years to come, next year and the year after, look out, because we've got some horses, some young ones.
Well, and I rather than cutting to a break or anything, I'm just going to go ahead and me and you. I know you got to get going because you got places to go and people to see, and you got to pay refs for a girls' game. And
that's it.
You know, but before we get into the quick preview of the games coming up, and by the way, thanks. We like you. You're a diehard Vinton County fan. You're not some obnoxious twit that comes in here with a green hoodie that says Bulldogs on it. Actually, Troy Bolin actually
he's
came
just out. Getting killed today.
Troy. He's got his own radio show. You know that.
Oh, I know. He I don't listen retaliate. To it, but I mean, I've heard. I have actually listened to Troy. They ATH and XTQ, they stream the games. And
Yeah,
he gets completely emotional during the he kind of gets in that Bob Grillo, Jeff Thacker, when this
guy. I don't know if he's that bad.
You're sitting there listening to him going, what just happened? You knew it was good. But anyhow, no, thanks for coming. No, Troy wanted to paint the maroon. Now you know what the padded room is.
Oh, yeah. I've always wondered.
Do we lie?
No, it's...
He wants to spray paint it green. That tells you how his lack of respect is. But
whatever.
Anyhow, Coach, before we get to... We'll talk quickly about the Miami Trace game as well as the Alexander, the TVC Ohio home opener coming up this Friday. Do want to touch real quickly for our listeners that, you know, obviously we do this thing during the season, and for the listeners, there's a lot of stuff that goes on during the summer. Obviously, your down period is, you know, from the day after, the day after... The season, you have a dead time until you can't have open gyms until May. But, you know, just briefly, summer season, everything went okay?
Yeah. We had, got a lot of these kids some experience in the summer. And you know, obviously, you know, we, like you mentioned, and we've pretty much as a team had to put it behind us now and move forward. But, I mean, obviously the loss of Sean was bad for all of us. You know, he was there all summer and somebody we were looking forward to working with. But most of these kids got some summer work in, got some experience that way, and we try to play a tough schedule in the summer to, you know, see where we're at. So, yeah, I mean, it's been, and the preseason's been a little goofy. It's been condensed. It almost feels like it's been a real rushed preseason with the Thanksgiving thing and the game right after that. It happens every now and then with the calendar, but yeah, so. You know, we're here now, and it's nice to get the season started, even though maybe we're not completely ready, to be honest with you, but we'll get there, and ready or not, you got to get started.
Well, some things, actually, I owe you a big thank you. Got to participate, and I think you can't use the word first annual, but the first Vinton County coaching staff family picnic, swimming party event, and it was actually the unofficial executive director of Vinton County Basketball Operations, Terry Wayne Pup Dog Llama Hale, came up with this idea one night about how it would be really cool in the summer, because that's the one time of year you guys are just dads and you're regular guys and you're not all torqued up and nervous, but we decided to have, or Terry decided to have, it would be a good idea to have a kind of a family event, get all you your wives, your kids, have a cookout and things like that. So Pup graciously decided the best place to have that party would be at my house.
That was nice of him.
Yeah, it was really nice of him. And so, I mean, you and your beautiful wife, Amy, your two boys, Brevin and Brogan.
Yes.
Ooh, little mini me there. Oh my gosh.
That's what they say.
Oh, I get some pictures on my cell phone of you and the big guy in the pool. And I'm telling you what, it is amazing. The similarities between the tweaked up face and everything. But Brogan, your mom's got to be loving this. It looks just like Matt Combs. But with you and your family and Coach Travis Hale and Autumn and his kids, along with Coach Carpenter and his lovely wife Erin and their three girls, and Terry and Kelly and my, I'm not even on staff. I'm not even part of the staff like Terry and everyone else is. But and just that was a good thing. The other thing, the generosity and support for the Vinton County community you have in the Viking Golf Scramble, which we had, what was that, August, late August, September?
Yeah, it was August. We had that in Chillicothe, and a lot of people, like you say, a lot of businesses help us with that, and a lot of guys come out and play. So, well, obviously, the cream rises to the top in those things.
I just want to talk about that real quick. I just really want to talk about that. But you better just slow down there, Boss Hog, because what's the main purpose of having a golf scramble normally for your program?
It's a fundraiser.
It's a fundraiser. Okay. Right. And you go around and there's probably 24, 25 businesses that graciously sponsors. There were people coming out of the woods. Even Coach Royster in retirement, he comes out, he's there. The guys from the Eagles. I mean, there were people from other school districts, fellow coaches from all over the place, your wonderful dad and your brother Shane. There was just scads of support. And, you know, the whole thing, if I guess if you're in charge of it, like the head coach of the program, you would want to, what, make sure that everyone has a very good time.
Right, right.
And you would probably understand that this is to raise money for the kids of Vinton County. Who won the scramble, Coach? What team won the scramble?
My team. My team. The same team that I bring every year.
No, wait.
And we won it once.
No. Well, okay.
Now, your team, there was a guy on your team that I got to play with a little later who's a scratch golfer who nobody had ever met before.
Putt met him.
I didn't know if you pulled him right off like the nationwide tour or what was going on.
He moved up here. His girlfriend living, whatever, you know, she's from this area, and he's moved here from Hilton Head, Georgia. Stephen Smith?
I can't remember his last name.
Kid can play, but my team only had three people.
Right.
And we were tied with another team, and then I come in and think we're in the hunt, and you said it's the same. It's not, you didn't play with the same guys, because this is how not only competitive you are, but, and I hate to use the word cheating, but this is almost politically conniving. One of the guys on your team for that scramble is an official, was a ref. So not only did you capitalize on his golf skills, but you were also sucking up to him. And, I mean, I'm not going to mention the ref's name because he's done a lot of games, and it's not like you guys are friends during the game because I've seen you just unload on him. But, when I found out that your team won, I had to get out. I was fighting mad. Just can't believe that you're wired that competitively.
Hey, I just brought the same team I always bring, man. Same team I always bring.
I think next year, just in the spirit of being humble and gracious to the many businesses and people that come out and support their program when otherwise they could be at home weeding their landscape beds or mowing grass or doing something more productive, you should just drive around in a golf cart, shake hands, kiss babies, hand out water, and kiss Heine. But instead, you've got to win. You just got to win everything you get into.
Well, I've only been asked once or twice to throw a match. So, you know, other than that, usually try to do my best. We better wait. We better use that on another show.
Yeah, we'll tell that story. We'll touch base on this real quick. We got to get into the talking about the other games, but we, you know, back to the staff party that Terry Hale had planned at my house. I was thinking a lot. You know, we're starting to run short on guests. You know, we've had darn near everybody. Speaking of you throwing a golf match, which you did very well one day, only because your partner was Norm Pearson, and I mandated that if you didn't throw the match, then you were never going to play golf again.
I didn't throw it that well.
No.
Because when I knocked that putt about 17 foot by, he says,
Coach Pearson yelled at you.
What was that? I says, you're the worst gut putt. You're the worst putter I've ever seen in my life.
You're being pretty generous.
I'm cleaning it up a little bit.
Yeah, you're cleaning up a lot. But nonetheless, you know, I was thinking getting Coach Pearson. We have not interviewed him since back in the radio days.
Right, right.
So Coach Pearson, and then we were talking about the staff party, and I saw the dynamic, and I've been around. Amy's a wonderful lady, great girl. Why she married you, I have no idea. But nonetheless, you know, seeing Amy and seeing, you know, Autumn Hale and Aaron Carpenter and, you know, just the coaches' wives, and to see the dynamic of what happens when they all get together, and basically the conversation tends to be about how all their husbands are complete idiots and crazy men because they coach. And I thought this would be a good idea, is to interview, we've tried to cover every angle, but interview your wife and find out the dynamics of being married to an extremely competitive high school basketball coach and what that dynamic is like. And I kind of sprung that on you a couple weeks ago, and your response was?
I don't remember what my response was.
I think you didn't want her to go solo.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, you said something to the effect of, if I'm going to get beat up for 20 minutes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, misery loves company, yes. Yeah.
So you thought it'd be a good idea to get all three of the coaches' wives in here.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that'd be a good idea. It'd be a better idea than just mine, is what I was saying.
Well, I was thinking I could get them over here. We could have some cheese and wine and, you know, fruit, you know, four or five bottles of wine.
That's all I want, is our wives in a small room with you drinking wine.
Hey, I would be extraordinarily objective. No, I got your back, brother. Anyhow, coming up tomorrow night, you guys make a long road trip, clear up to Fayette County to play. What is it, Miami Trace? What's their nickname?
Panthers.
The Panthers.
Yeah.
Panthers out of the South Central Ohio League.
Right.
Haven't played them in a few years, but I know that just the early scouting reports I've heard on them, they kind of play an up-tempo, helter-skelter kind of a
right.
you know, anything goes, full court type thing. Right. What do you look for out of them, and what's your general thought?
They press pretty much baseline to baseline. They play fast. Their style of play is probably pretty tough to play against at this point in the year, honestly. Teams that usually do that give some teams some trouble early on in the year, because, you know, you haven't really seen that much or been able to simulate it. So it'll be a challenge for us. You know, we've tried to simulate it in practice the last couple of days, what we'll see. And if we can handle the ball, not turn the ball over, I think we have a good chance. You know, that's going to be the major key, and is just basically being able to take care of the basketball, which we didn't do at times in the first half the other night. You know, you'd mentioned 15 turnovers. I'm betting most of those were early, or at least half. And, you know, we have to do a better job of that tomorrow night.
Well, and then, you know, we've touched on the Alexander Spartans. They come calling Friday night. I know that first leg of the game, only the third game of the season.
Right.
You know, that's, you know, not that you don't care about non-league games. Of course you do. But, you know, that's, I think, when you guys as a team sat down and write those goals on the dry erase board at the beginning of every season, the TVC Ohio Championship's probably right. The first and foremost goal. So
right.
With that, I know Nate had his opinion of the Spartans. Quickly, how do you look at them? And, you know, obviously a coaching change,
right?
Bringing on Jordan as the assistant varsity coach. What kind of a game do you look for Friday night?
I was impressed when I watched them play there on Friday. They played a couple hours before we did. I thought they did some really nice things. You know, they did a good job in their offensive spacing. They took, you know, they have several kids that can make shots. Like Nate said, they're undersized, but they're making up for that by spreading the floor and shooting outside shots. And when they shoot well, they're going to be a tough team to guard because they have several kids that can shoot it. I was impressed defensively with them. They played a really hard, tough man-to-man and hard-nosed kids. They took probably five or six charges. I was definitely impressed by that. That's something we stress also. And so when you ever see a team doing that, it catches your eye. But I've known Jimmy for a long time, Jimmy Kearns, and he's going to do a nice job with them. He's a very smart guy. I mean, anybody knows him knows he's very intelligent. He's going to have a plan. And the kids, I think, respond to him. They're going to listen and learn. So, and obviously, like you say, Jordan's a nice addition to their staff too. But it's going to be a challenge. Like you say, first league game. And like Nate said, they always seem to play us tough. So we're expecting a tough game.
Out of curiosity, given that Jimmy coached under Blaine Gabriel for so many years, and Blaine was kind of a system coach, so he liked to do that that three quarter court trap that uh-huh. they were notorious for. Did you see any remnants of some of the things that Blaine did and did well year after year over there, Alex? Or is it a whole new dynamic, whole new offense, whole different defensive scheme?
It looked a little different to me. I mean, you know, they played a lot of man-to-man last year, actually. I think they were together, Blaine and Jimmy, were making a commitment to start turning the corner defensively and playing more man-to-man. And they played a lot of man last year, and which has probably paid off because I was pretty impressed with their defense the other day. You know, actually, you know, Coach Kearns only really coached under Blaine for a while. He coached under Jay Reese, though,
right.
Back, and then he took some time off. So he's got a little bit of both of those backgrounds. But Jimmy's background in basketball goes way beyond that. He was nearly Mr. Basketball as a player in the state of Ohio. I mean, he was a heck of a player back in the day. Hmm. He's gotten his basketball from up north where he's from, and then when he came down here, you know, getting different people, you know, coaching with or under different people. So he, like I said, very intelligent. He's going to have a game plan. You know, it's a little different. I guess every coach has his little, you know, tendencies, no matter who you coach under. But no, I was impressed with them in their first game, and you know, it's like I said, we're going to have to be ready. We're going to be ready Friday.
Should be a good one. Both the game tomorrow night, December the 3rd, Tuesday at Miami Trace, as well as the game coming up on Friday night, December the 6th. They're both triple headers, both 5 o'clock tips for the freshmen. So
right.
Get there early and enjoy plenty of Viking basketball. Well, I think I've got everything, all the jabs I wanted to get in.
Hey, I want to thank Nate, too, for coming. In all seriousness, it's nice to see, and I told Nate this a couple years ago before he even got into this stuff, it's nice to see young people, you know, be big supporters and fans because, obviously, you know, it's like anything else. You know, you've had your longtime supporters. you know, as they get older or whatever, sometimes they're not able to be as at everything. And it's good to see young people stepping up and taking those roles. And Nate's always been a big fan, not just of basketball, but he's followed every sport, you know, all of Benton County sports. And when he's on Southeastern High Preps, unlike some people, he's very positive. You know, he tells the truth, but, you know, he's not bashing people on there. You know, he's being
objective. You talking about me?
No. I wasn't pressing you. No, in all honesty, I wasn't meaning that. I wish I was. It'd have been a great dig, but I wasn't. Yeah, okay. But no, Nate's always been great, you know, to our kids and everything. So I appreciate that, man.
Well, it's easy for me. I follow the Cleveland Browns, the Indians, you know, the Cavaliers.
So it's good to follow a winner for a change.
So I can always come back to Vinton County basketball and know I've got something to fall back on. So don't let me down. That's it. That's
a little
that's
pressure.
All I've got.
No pressure. Nate, thanks for coming. We'll probably have you back because you obviously we like your attitude. We like what you wear. You're much better than Troy Bowling. You're not a, riding on a train or anything like that. But no, thanks for stopping by.
I appreciate it, and I look forward to listening to you guys this year.
Okay. Well, hey, we got one listener.
There you go.
There you go, Coach. We'll talk to you next week. Good luck this week, and. Hopefully we can kind of get this season going in the right direction. No, you got a lot of work to do, and the kids got a lot of work to do, but it's all a good thing because it's all for a good cause. So we'll talk to you next Monday.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. The Viking Rumble Podcast presented by McDonald's. McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. For the coach, Matt Combs, Carl Knox, and thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week for episode number 27. Of the Viking Round Ball Podcast.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Round Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Round Ball Podcast.